Luke and John, you almost get the idea that Jesus was reading the newspapers, because he talks about two tragedies. And actually, in the newspapers, tragedies are probably the most popular thing. And we're learning about tragedies today in many ways, difficult circumstances that we face. And so today, as we read the scripture, I want us to kind of think from that perspective, that the scripture is very relevant to us. It has to do with our life. Let's open with a moment of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the people of God. I thank you for the word of God. And as we sit underneath the word, Lord, may we leave changed, transformed. In Christ's name, amen. Looking at these two texts, John and Luke, the title of my sermon is this: Does a good God allow bad things to happen? This is a very important question, because we see tragedies in life everywhere we look. We see people who suffer. We want to ask that question: why? Why, Lord? Why are people suffering? We don't like suffering for ourselves and for others. And we feel that suffering is unfair, especially for the innocent. And we wonder, where is God in all of this? Where is God? And all the people in the world ask the same kind of question, but still there are tragedies. And they're found everywhere. They're found in human life, and they're found in natural tragedies. In human tragedies, there's so many that we can think of. Many of us have experienced this. There's evil people who hurt innocent people. There's abusive bosses, drug dealers, child abusers, sex traffickers, drug dealers, corrupt government, violent people who beat and abuse a spouse, people who cheat the elderly out of their pensions, who steal the wealth of the innocent. Some of you here today have been hurt, have been harmed, and you carry pain throughout your life because you've experienced bad things in your life. Christians today are persecuted in the Middle East. Government persecution of Christians in Asia. There's prison camps where minority people and religious people are put in prison with no reason at all. Humans also mistreat the earth. And then what about natural tragedies? There's so many natural tragedies in the world. Earthquakes, floods, tornadoes, tsunamis, wind, fire. How many of you have experienced tragedies like that in your life? Many of us have experienced tragedies, human tragedies and natural tragedies in life. It's a common thing that we all experience. Even in biology, we have diseases. We have SARS. We have MERS. We have bubonic plague and leprosy, the flu. Every year in the United States, 25,000 to 50,000 people die of the flu. We had one person die recently of the coronavirus. But I want to tell you that the world has experienced these kind of tragedies very often. In the United States, in 1918 to 1920, there was a Spanish flu. This flu was much more deadly, much more harmful than the flus that we have today, than the coronavirus. Nothing compares to the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu during that period affected 500 million people, one-third of the earth. They say 20 to 50 million people died. In the United States, 675,000 people died. In the Washington, D.C. area, 3,000 people, somewhere around that. 3,000 people in the D.C. area died of the Spanish flu. And you know, the most vulnerable, 20 to 40-year-olds, were highly vulnerable. The flus that we have, the normal flu and the corona, usually the people are most vulnerable are the elderly, and the people that are already sick. I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to give any medical advice, but I will say there's a lot of fear today. Today there's fear. And oh, by the way, do I have pictures up? Look at these pictures. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. 1918, keep going. There you go. The United States, some Washington, D.C., the next one. There you go. Everybody has masks. It's very interesting, isn't it? It reminds you of pictures coming out of China today. Really, it does. Okay, go to the last one. So I just want you to understand that this is not a new thing in the history of the world. This has happened. Fear of a new disease today strikes many people because the coronavirus has impacted China, Iran, South Korea, Italy, and many other places. But today we are going to talk only a little about this. I want us to think about the Christian perspective, the Christian idea of tragedy and suffering. When bad things happened to us, to the world, how do Christians respond? What is our response? How do we act? First, I want you to know that Christian belief has many approaches to the question of why people suffer. There's many writers from the beginning of Christianity to today that talk about why people suffer. I'm not going to give you an answer today to that question. I'm not going to answer that question. You can ask Charles. Josh. But those are important questions, and I want to tell you that there have been many people that have talked about this and written about this and spoken about this. But there's a much more important question from the text that we've read this morning. It's not the question of why. There's a more important question. How do we live with tragedy and suffering all around us? True Christians live with faith, with peace, with joy, and they give hope and they give love to the people who are fearful. We should not be the fearful ones. We are the ones that have God with us. We have the comfort and the presence of Christ in our life. If we live or die, we are not afraid. That is the message of Christian faith. I want you also to know that when people suffer, you don't need to give them an answer. When people have pain in their life, you don't need to give them the answer. It's not your job. You come next to them. You stand with them. You love them. You sit with them. You weep. You help. You're quiet. Like Job's friends in the beginning. They sat with Job and they didn't say anything. They were with him. And when Christians are with people who are suffering, they sense your peace. And they respond to the love of Christ. More than anything you could say, more than anything you could do. Your presence is powerful because the Holy Spirit is with you. Christ incarnate is in you. I've been a Twitter follower. Lately, Hong Kong has had problems, and so I've followed Twitter when it comes to Hong Kong. And I've watched the coronavirus kind of increase in Hong Kong as the major theme. And so in January, my wife's brother asked me to send some masks. So we went down to the store and looked for masks. And most of the stores, we couldn't find any. But finally, we went to Home Depot and we found some masks. We boxed them up and we sent them to Hong Kong. 10 days, it's supposed to be. We mailed them in January, like January. What? When in January? January. It took more than a month. I was thinking maybe someone stole them. But no, they arrived. There was no problem. They arrived okay. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think about this? China, Hong Kong, do you think everyone should wear a mask? Raise your hand. Do you think people should wear masks? I'm curious. Yeah. Yeah, there's a disagreement. There's a disagreement out there. Who should wear masks? My brother-in-law told me, you know, in Hong Kong, all of the Chinese people are wearing masks, and the Westerners don't wear masks. And so the Chinese people are afraid of Westerners. I don't know if that's true. But masks are kind of an interesting topic right now, and whether or not you should wear them or not wear them. Well, let me tell you that we should not listen to rumors. We should listen to people who know. And so in the United States, we have an organization called the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. And the best information about these kind of tragedies come from specialists and professionals. And so you can actually go online and you can read in this, and they will tell you this about the coronavirus. This is an emergency, rapidly evolving situation, and CDC will provide updated information as it becomes available in addition to updated guidance. The site will tell you how to wash your hands. You know, one of the most important things we can do is wash our hands. 20 seconds with soap. That's one of the best ways to avoid this. Another thing is to not be close to people who are sick. But in truth, the United States does not have a tragedy right now. We have a few instances. But we should always be careful, even with flu. Even with the flu, you need to wash your hands. So we should not be fearful people. We should be people who are trusting in God, walking with Him. And whenever people are afraid, even when there is real tragedy, we offer hope. We offer life to them. Sometimes I watch on my Twitter pictures from China, and all of the government people are dressed and they have masks, three masks on, and a mask over their head. But I also watched on Twitter an example of some Christians who were helping to sweep the streets. They were Christian people and they wanted to serve. Nobody else wanted to serve. But the Christian people actually put themselves in a risky situation to serve others. That is a beautiful statement. And that is what Christians have done from the beginning of history. From starting ministry to leprosy homes, ministry to orphans, ministry to people in war. The nature of Christianity is to intervene and help when there is a need. The CDC, by this way, does not recommend face masks. So the Centers for Disease Control does not suggest we wear face masks. It suggests medical workers and sick people wear face masks. I'm not a doctor. We have some doctors. Oh, I see a doctor right back there, Roy Wong. If you have questions about this, talk to Roy. He will point you the right way. So we have two resources here. We have... Charles, and we have Roy Wong. There you go. You don't have to listen to what I say. But the big picture here is that when there are problems, Christians have a way to respond. My first point is this. Jesus tells us we will have trouble in this world. From John 16. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the promise for Christians. We have peace in the midst of sorrow and tragedy. That peace is available for all of you. And I know many of you have had struggles in life. Many of you have seen painful situations in your life. And some of you, your whole life has been molded by something bad that has happened to you. Let me tell you this morning that you can have peace in Christ. Peace in relationship with Jesus Christ, because He broke the power of sin and death. He overcame the world. This world has terrible injustice and tragedy. And we Christians live here. And we Christians receive the peace of God, and we give the peace of God to to others. So don't worry. Do not be afraid. Trust God. Trust the peace of God. Trust the love of God, because Christ has overcome the world. Jesus understood that tribulation and suffering was a part of life. In fact, it was a part of his life. He suffered. He died. He was buried. And thanks be to God, he rose from the dead. He's the one who gives peace. He sends the Spirit. He's the living God who we worship. He is our life. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the answer, the hope of the world? Then I ask you today to prepare this year for the celebration of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday. I ask you to be prayerful, but I ask you to make a special effort to invite someone to church. I ask each and every one of you to invite someone that you forgot to invite to church on Sunday, to share the love and the joy of Jesus Christ with them. In fact, I ask you so much. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't like everyone to raise their hand. But I'm going to ask you, if you're willing to consider inviting someone to come to the Chinese Community Church on a Sunday in the next 2 months, if you're willing to consider that, if God places that burden on your heart, how many of you will invite somebody to church? Raise your hand. How many of you will invite somebody to come to church to meet Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Leave it up. There you go. There you go. Invite somebody. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. That's okay. God loves you anyway. But I challenge you to think about it. Think about my challenge. Now, I'm not taking names. I'm not taking notes. I don't remember. If you don't raise your hand, it's okay. I love you. Actually, you know, today who I love my most is my wife. She bears with me. If I can love her, I can love anybody. So let me ask you, please invite somebody to come to worship and experience the presence of the living God, the peace that we have in our heart through Jesus Christ. Make a special effort. Secondly, we see bad things happen to good and bad people. You know, in chapter 12, we didn't read chapter 12, but it's very interesting. We have this encounter with the rich young fool, and Jesus tells him, life is more than things. Life is more than the things that you have, which you will lose in the end. And in another passage, he says, do not worry about your life, but seek his kingdom. When bad times come, friends, don't fear. Seek God. I found in my life, when tragedies happen, people often turn to God. And so when tragedies happen, Christians have an opportunity to share Christ with others. People are crazy about the coronavirus today in the United States, and there's no reason to be crazy in the U.S. But you can talk to them, and you can tell them there's hope in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ loves them, and invite them to church. In chapter 13, verse 1, the text that we read says this: there were some present at that very time who told him, who told Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. What is that talking about? What is going on in this? Something happened that Jesus is talking about. There was news that some people from Galilee were killed while they were giving sacrifices. The text is very unique. It's not found in the other Gospels. Secular history does not have an account of these Galileans being killed by Pilate at the temple. But we do know that these kind of things happened, especially with Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the prefect of the Roman province of Judea. He presided over the trial of Jesus and gave the order to execute Jesus. He was a bad man. He was known to deal with rebels. In fact, he would have his soldiers who had armor and a sword, he would have them cover themselves with a cloak. And they would go in to areas where there were large groups of people. And if there was a rebel, they would pull the sword out and kill them right there on the spot. That was Pontius Pilate. And we know from history that Judeans and Samaritans were killed this way. The historian Josephus says about Pontius Pilate, he was a cruel and violent man. And you know, he was so cruel that he was called back to Rome, and the Roman emperor Caligula told him, commit suicide, and he killed himself. That's the man who had Jesus taken to the cross. Perhaps here Jesus is suggesting that Pilate killed Galilean pilgrims who were going to worship in the temple, and that as they were killed, their blood was mixed together with the blood of the animals that were sacrificed. This is what Jesus here is talking about. This was in the news. People knew about it. And he asked the question. He asked a question. And the question is in our tongue. Why? Why? Why did that happen to these people who wanted to worship? This is what verse 2 says. And he answered them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all others? Galileans, because they suffered in this way, do you think they were worse sinners? One of the popular ideas that existed in the culture was this. The Pharisees had a belief that if something bad happens to you, you were born blind, or you had a handicap, or you were a leper, or there was a disaster, then you must be a sinner. In other words, bad things only happen to bad people. That was the belief they had, that God has punished you. God caused it. So when the soldiers went in and killed these Galileans in the temple, the blood flowed and mixed with the sacrifice. Most people wondered. And you know what their question was? What did they do to deserve that? How many of you have heard this kind of thing before, where something bad happens and someone says, oh, why did God allow that? Very common thing. They had it coming to them. Jesus absolutely rejects this idea. He says, no. No. Bad things happen to good and bad people. When we suffer, we ask one another the same question, don't we? Why did it happen? You know, in many religions, not Christianity, bad things are supposed to happen to bad people. If you pray or give your God money, God is supposed to protect you, and you will have no problems. That is not Christian faith. Christian faith believes that bad happens to good and bad people because we live in a sinful, broken, evil world. And the difference is that Christians have peace with God in the midst of the suffering and the pain. My wife's from Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, they have many religions. They have Taoism, they have Confucianism. And some of her friends have a god, a little god called Guanyin. Anybody know Guanyin? She's the goddess of mercy. And people give money to her, give food to her, hoping that nothing bad will happen. And then something bad happens. Christian faith is different. You have joy and peace in the midst of suffering. That's how Christianity is different from many other religions. Promise peace in the midst of a struggle. Now, my wife's church in Hong Kong is very interesting. Right now, my wife's church is not having worship services. Online worship services. Online. But they do have a group of people that help others. And so if you look at this, these are a group of the people in the Chinese church in Hong Kong, and they're giving these things free to the poor. They come outside and They can get some toilet paper. What else do they get? Gas masks? Go to the next one. There you go. There. They're giving things out to people. Go to the next one. You see a line of people there. See the line lining up? And they're so happy that they're helping. That's what Christianity is. God calls us to help others. It doesn't matter in what circumstance. And I know in the Chinese community church, we have many opportunities for people to help. And helping means caring for children. It means outreach. It means feeding people. And I want to, those of you in this Chinese church who do things to serve the church, praise God. Because you're fulfilling the call of God on our life as Christians. What do you think? Did these Galileans suffer because they were sinners? Jesus answers our question with a more important question. He said this, "Do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans?" In verse 3, he says this, "No, they were not worse sinners. I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." I've been talking about repenting a few times recently. Sometimes people don't want to hear it. But let me tell you, there's no church growth, there's no maturity, there's no peace, there's no love if people refuse to repent. If people refuse to turn to God, turn from their sin, there is no hope for them. That's what Jesus says here. Listen to this. And then he talks about another news incident. So the first news in the news is the Galileans. And then there's another thing that happened at the Tower of Siloam. Let's read about this. "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus doesn't answer the question why. But Jesus creates another important idea. You have two tragedies. You have the tragedy of the Galileans, and you have the tragedy of the Tower of Siloam. But there's another tragedy, and that's the tragedy of sin and the refusal to repent. And that is the worst tragedy. That's what Jesus is trying to get across. All around you in this world, you have disaster. But the worst disaster is if you refuse to repent before God. There's no greater tragedy than that. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Their human sinfulness, the evil deeds that they did, that is a tragedy that is a great tragedy. And that's the point of this message. And it is directed directly to the heart of the disciples, trying to tell them that they had to make a decision to serve and follow God. And when you serve and follow God, when you repent, you can experience peace, real peace, peace that is beyond imagination. In Philippians 4, verse 7, Paul writes, "And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." So when people today are fearful about all kinds of things, fearful about a virus, fearful about life, let them first know that there is peace available if they surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. This morning, there's so many things to pray for. I pray for our Chinese church. I pray you will give courage to your people to invite someone to church. You will give courage and help people to act to invite somebody to experience the love of Christ in this church. Secondly, I pray for those, especially in China, who've been working hard in a very difficult circumstance. I pray for the medical workers in China I pray, God, that the Christian faith will grow among the medical workers, the volunteers, the nurses, and the doctors, will respond to the message of Christ, that the door will be opened to them to receive Christ and his love, so that they can be able to serve with peace. Lord, I pray for Christians in the United States. I pray for the United States, that you would help our government leaders to make right decisions. Lord, I pray for our world as it encounters one more crisis. Lord, I pray for this world that you've placed us in. Help us to be a light. Help us to be people of peace in the midst of suffering and tragedy. Help us to be people of love. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
God is speaking and challenging us, so let us take heed. At the start of his message, Pastor Don asked, what is the Christian response when bad things happen? And the answer is that, you know, believers, the church, respond with peace, joy, love, faith in God. We trust God. And right now is a great opportunity.